It's not that OxyContin is particularly powerful. It's that pain is particularly confounding.
Every single day, there's somebody gone, that there's somebody lost. So it almost feels like my Facebook is nothing but like an obituary at this point.
It's so important for the mental health and substance abuse issues to be treated together.
We have a number of ignorant people in control of our policy in the United States, and it is driving many of us bonkers.
There is an underground movement all across this country that is beginning to rise up.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's good to have you with us today. I'm Todd Zwillick, and we continue now our ongoing coverage of opioid addiction in America. Victims of this crisis are not limited to drug users. Families are also devastated, children in particular, because when parents are struggling with addiction, children can be left in dangerous or unstable situations.
There was one point where, like, I was dope sick, and, like, I was laying on my couch, and my son actually wandered out of my house because, like, I was just so... just like incoherent, and he wandered out of the house, was running up and down my street, and a neighbor actually had to bring him home.
You might remember Kimber, an opioid user in recovery, who we talked to a couple of weeks ago. Kimber's a mother in Massachusetts, and her story is like a lot of parents addicted to opioids. It's a crisis on the rise, not just in Massachusetts, but especially in Ohio, a state with one of the highest overdose death rates in the country. The foster care system in Ohio has become dangerously overextended, with too few foster families to cope with rising numbers of children who need care because they can't stay at home with parents who are addicted or who've overdosed. Let's go to Ohio now with Scott Britton, Assistant Director of Public Children's Services Association of Ohio, and also Cassandra Holtzman, JFS Child Services Director in Crawford County, Ohio. Scott, Cassandra, welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Scott, give us a sense of the scope of the problem here. What's happening in Ohio's foster system, and how is it connected to opioids?
Well, what we have seen since 2010 is a 22% increase in the number of children in custody, and just 10% increase in the past year only. So we attribute much of that increase to the opioid crisis. We did a survey of our members, including Cassandra in Crawford County, and found that in 2015, of all the children taken into custody that year, half of them had parental drug use as one of the removal factors, and 28% of the total had opioids in particular, whether it be prescription opiates or heroin or some analog of that at the time of removal.
And Scott, what do caseworkers typically see when they encounter a family where opioid addiction has hit home and kids aren't being cared for?
Well, our caseworkers very much act as first responders, similar to the police or the fire department. Sometimes they're first on the scene when there's an overdose. We've heard situations where caseworkers have had to tell a child that their parent has died in the next room. They are experiencing a lot of secondary trauma themselves because, unfortunately, these children aren't going home, or at least not going home as quickly as what they are accustomed to. A lot of our caseworkers really live to reunify these children with their parents. And what we've seen with this epidemic is that children are staying in custody much longer because of the cycle of recovery and relapse with heroin addiction. In fact, they're staying about a month longer in custody on average than they were in 2010. And it may not seem like a big jump, but a whole other month means possibly another birthday or another holiday away from home. And being removed to foster care is a traumatic experience for children.
Cassandra, can you describe, if you can, sort of the kid's eye view of addiction in their family, the trajectory for a kid when they're removed because of an addicted parent or guardian? What does a child go through once your caseworkers are on the scene and trying to look after their best interests?
Yeah, that's certainly something that, you know, it varies depending on the case. But the general case, I think, is children are really left in the wake. They're the silent victims of this epidemic. And so when a worker goes in, they're trying to remove the child from the trauma at the moment. And as Scott said, in the severe cases, they're having to explain things to children that a child really should never have to hear. But then once what we try to do at that point is to keep the trauma limited. So what we're trying to do is place a child with someone they're familiar with. We're looking for family members and relatives. Really what we have to begin then is, does the child need treatment? Does the child need immediate care? And then following that, we have to begin work with the parents in order to reach reunification. So we're working in all different areas. But from the child's point of view, what has happened is their parent, unfortunately, has made a decision or has been the victim of this epidemic and has decided to choose drugs over their child. And the child, that's the way the child views it. We understand that this is a serious addiction, but the child doesn't see it that way. And they don't know what's really happened in the midst of all of this trauma. And so we're moving them, we're moving their belongings, taking them somewhere else. Their life is an upheaval. Now we have to work to help them put the pieces back together, whether that's through treatment or whether it's through working with them and their relatives to see that they're being parented. There's a whole host of responsibilities we have at that point. But this is certainly a strain for children.
Scott, this isn't the first time we've heard of parenting crises because of drugs, certainly alcohol. But is there something qualitatively different here with opioids? You mentioned that the numbers are up. I wonder if there's something fundamentally different than other drug waves, even alcoholism, that you encounter all the time.
Well, there's a lot going on with this epidemic. It started with prescription drugs and opiates. And I think a lot of us know that it affected white Ohioans and white Americans more than other previous drug epidemics had. And a lot of people are saying it got more attention because of that. And it's expensive for our system to work with these families. The scale of it is just really quite unbelievable here in Ohio. We lead the nation in the number of overdose deaths and the number of heroin overdoses and the use of synthetic drugs, and the cost to our children's services system is staggering. We've seen a $55 million increase in the placement costs to our agencies between 2013 and 2016. And Cassandra knows better than I do that Ohio relies more heavily on county funds to pay for children's services than any other state in the nation. And our agencies are struggling to pay the foster care and the residential costs for supporting these children.
Well, let's talk about some of that money, because Cassandra, I think 13 or maybe a dozen counties in Ohio passed levies where voters recognized the additional cost here and agreed to pay more to help with the opioid crisis. What did they pass in Crawford County, and what did it mean to your bottom line?
Well, basically, they really stepped up to the plate. I think the taxpayers certainly recognize what's going on in Crawford County. It was a 1.5 mil levy that just passed, and it's going to generate a little bit over $1 million a year. Our placement costs at this point are roughly, I believe in 2016, they were a little bit over $1.6 million. So that will cover a significant portion of our placement costs. But this is definitely a serious help for Crawford County.
And behind all of those dollars, behind all of those levies, is a kid who doesn't have a drug-free home to live in.
Doesn't have a drug-free home, may not even have a parent left. And while we've seen that huge increase in kinship placements, a 62% increase over 6 years, and we prefer to place kids with kin, because of the generational nature of the heroin epidemic, sometimes it's hard to find a grandparent or an aunt or uncle who is clean and can take the children in. And so we have to resort to foster care or, as Cassandra mentioned, residential care for those children who have really been traumatized by the neglect that they've experienced.
Scott Britton is Assistant Director of Public Children's Services Association in Ohio. Scott, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.
And Cassandra Holtzman, thanks to you as well. Cassandra is Crawford County JFS Child Services Director.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have been here.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.